Let's just talk to the Lord. Father, we do thank you for your kindness, and we thank you that we can get together. We thank you that we can pray together. And we see these days of chaos and turbulence and sadness. Thank you that we can come to you and bring our request and our burdens and our fears and our concerns. Thank you that you are a wonderful Father to us. We just pray tonight that you'll guide our thoughts, and may they be consistent with your word and consistent with who you are and with what you want us to say and ponder. May our hearts be in tune with you. So focus us by your Spirit for your pleasure, for our growth. In Christ's name, amen. I was thinking of the religions of the world, which I don't have a vast knowledge of all of them. But isn't it interesting how wonderful it is to be in Christianity and be able to call God our Father? Not just some being who is powerful or evil or undecisive or invisible or whatever in the imagination of the minds of men, but we go to the true God who is Father, who longs to have a relationship with us. Isn't Father is a wonderful word? It's a wonderful word. Now, we all can remember, I was thinking about this side of a human father's. If we all think back to our father, our human father, we could remember when you were a teenager and you thought, oh man, that's my dad, right? That's what he did. And you think, man, I'll never do that. And if you're a father, later on, you looked in the mirror and you thought, oh man, I'm way too much like my dad. And I thought about that several times. Marty said a few things, and I just realized that you really do catch more than is taught, right? You just pick it up. And we know, all of us who are fathers, none of us are perfect. We've all have some of regret as we look back. But when we think about our Heavenly Father, we know he's perfect. It's a wonderful thing to have a relationship with a perfect Father. So we want to continue. We started on this thought about fatherhood of God. And we want to think of God as our Father. We talked about one of the things in our culture that I think we almost lose when we think in Christian, in our biblical perspective. Father assumes authority, and we've already talked about that. It's a positive thing, but he is the one ultimately in charge. He has all power, and he has all authority. And so therefore, of the many implications of that, is part of that is we are to submit to him. He is our Father. He is the ultimate authority. So we submit. We talked about that. But we also talked about God as our Father loves us. And I think we probably cherish that as much as anything, because we all need, the way we were created, we need to be loved. We're not robots. We're people. And we're created in God's image. And because we're created in an image of relationship, therefore we long to be loved, just as we are called to love. But we're loved by our Father. And I just wanted to highlight one thing about that before we move into our next point. If you'll turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I begin, I'm just dropping all the way down to verse 16 of 2 Thessalonians. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace. And then it goes on in verse 17, comfort and strengthen, may God do this, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. But I just want to highlight who has loved us. And of course, when we think of that, the giving of his Son to pay for our sin. We know that the ultimate demonstration of his love. But notice what goes with that, and given us eternal comfort. Now, I don't understand everything about that. Obviously, the Word of God is so huge, but pain in this life can be awful. I mean, we can think, even tonight, of people we prayed for, some terrible agony they're going through. But for the Christian, pain is temporary. But comfort from God is eternal. It's unending. And no matter what pain we experience, loved ones experience, Christians in other lands experience, their pain is bound in time, but their comfort will go on forever. The comfort of God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And then it talks about hope. And notice, because of God's love for us, we have hope. And again, these are not new thoughts, but wonderful thoughts. Good hope by grace. We have the future is assured because the Savior is coming for us. And even as tonight, Terry prayed, basically come quickly. we long for the Lord to come. Our future is wrapped up in our Savior coming back for us. And I know the Bible study and thinking of end times. The thing that we have the hope for, I think of the end times kind of like sitting on the front row seat of a movie theater. And we see all of this stuff happening that's coming out of the Bible. And we think, whoa, the Lord talked about some of this stuff. We can see how it could just be a day and this could all begin to unfold. It's amazing what the time we live in. In some ways, it's depressing. In some ways, it's exciting because we have the script in part before it actually occurs, right? But the reason we can have hope is because we know there's a future. There's a future. And it goes back to God's, the Father's love for us, His love for us. And that's why we have a future. Now, I remember a young woman, not exceedingly young, younger than me, so that's got to be young, but she said to me, and I don't think any of you know her, she doesn't live in this community, but she said to me, after I was talking about God's love and after the presentation, she said, I don't feel God's love for me. I thought that was... Now, I'm sure she's a believer. I'm sure of that. But I think sometimes maybe we don't stop and ponder God's love for us. I just think for a second. If I were to say to you, how do you know God loves you? Now, I think probably everyone in this room, probably the first thing we would say is that Christ went to the cross to die for us. And that's absolutely preeminent, primary. But have we applied that, have we thought about it enough to really feel, to really sense, to really feel secure in that love? I think sometimes we just need to stop and slow down. And like in our time with the Lord, in our quiet time of the day, just sense some of these truths where they become more and more real to us in our understanding and in our appreciation. But to just soberly soak in the reality, our Father loves us. It might be, obviously, we think of the death of Christ, but even tonight we think about our hope because of God's love. We have hope. And boy, don't we need hope. We were just talking about what happened to I didn't even see the news tonight, but apparently what possibly could have happened in Ottawa. But we have hope beyond. And we have comfort in the midst of agony. So, God the Father's love for us. Now, this goes hand in hand with that, but I want to go to another. And really just to maybe give you a little backdrop of how I kind of came up with the outline of this whole series, in this part of it, is I just went through all the references, basically the references to Father, and then tried to put them in categories where you see repetition, and so put them in categories. So obviously, God is our Father, has authority, He loves us, and this one, I think we would all include it. He cares for us. Now, you also may go to a very familiar passage. I want to go to Matthew 6. Let's go to Matthew 6. We know this passage, and it's just wonderful to review it. Now, it's interesting. It talks about, in Matthew 6, 24, it talks about... Really, it's dealing with serving. You can't serve two masters at the same time. And it's coming down to serving God or serving wealth in this context. And so it's talking about our needs, our concerns, making it through life, having enough to pay the bills. And then he uses this illustration, and I have to be selective just for time's sake. But verse 26, look at the birds of the air. Now, I'm sure some of you enjoy just watching the birds. And I didn't used to, but I've said this before, but I've kind of enjoyed now. I think maybe it's an older thing. I'm not sure. But look at these little birds, right? And look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Now, this is a side note of a side note, but if evolution was true, that would not be true. Because our value is that we've been created in God's image. So that's why we're more valuable than a bird. Now, I like birds, and they have value, but they don't have near the value that you have, a created being in God's image. So he says, are you not worth much more than they? Now, he goes on and talks about how worry is not going to add a single hour to our life. But then drop down to verse 31. Do not worry then. Boy, that's a big statement. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. Now, I'm just going to stop right there. This dawned on me as I was reading this again this afternoon. That's the way our world works. Okay, that's the way the world works. It's not the Gentiles, the world. Everybody's trying to survive, and we understand that. They're eagerly seeking. But we can get caught up in it. Now, not that we shouldn't work, and not that we shouldn't be faithful, not that we shouldn't be diligent. He's not erasing those responsibilities. But he's saying we should not be driven by anxiety, as the world is. For your heavenly Father knows. Now, isn't that wonderful? Your heavenly Father. It's talking to believers. Your heavenly. And we could say each of this personally for ourselves. Our heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Now, what is the implication of that? And I think we've said this before, but just remember this. It used to bother me that it stopped. He knows that you need these things. Well, is that a great comfort? He knows what I need. I mean, some people know what you need and it doesn't matter, right? But what makes the difference is that he is our heavenly Father. So if a father knows his kids need something, he's going to meet those needs. So because he knows all our needs, that's a great comfort because he's our Father and will meet our needs. Makes all the difference because he's our heavenly Father. And that's why, and then it moves right into responsibility, and we know this verse, probably many of you have it memorized, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Because the Father knows our needs, because he's our caring Father, he will meet those needs. And what an important comfort in a questionable world. I think of some of the people, even in Peterborough, recently who have lost jobs. Think of the people. I was kind of sad when Target didn't come to Peterborough. Now I'm kind of glad they didn't come. But think of all the people across Canada who work for Target, and now they know they're not going to have a job. They were counting on Target. Now, that's just a human illustration, right? But I was looking in the paper. You might have saw this the other day. You know, all the companies that have come to Canada and didn't survive. Well, that means jobs didn't survive. So, that's very practical for us. But we have a Heavenly Father who knows what we need and cares about us. And but see, we got to remember that. It's easy to forget that, isn't it? Because we're just in the rat race. We're just it's just a rat race. And then when, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the mindset of our culture. Now, we're not saying you shouldn't work, and we're not saying that you shouldn't be diligent. We're not saying we shouldn't be faithful. But we're saying that God knows and God cares and God will meet our need. Now, I think this is this just follows in line with that. But if you're right there in Matthew 6, turn over to Matthew 7 and verse 7 of Matthew chapter 7. Ask, and again, this is very familiar to you. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. Now, I find, it, and he uses this very practical illustration. I jump down to verse 9. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Well, that'd be child abuse, right? We know something like that happens often. But anyway, but that's not a father who loves his kids. Never going to do that. Or if he says he asks for a fish, he'll give him a snake. Pass the snake, please. No. If, verse 11, if you then being evil, okay, we got nailed, that we have an evil propensity because of our sin nature. If you are evil, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Our Father will provide, and notice it says he will provide. If we, as fathers who are frail and fickle and faulty, know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much will our Father give good things to us? Give good things to us. What is good to those? Now, we know he doesn't always give us everything we want because he knows it's not always good for us, right? Our Father will give what is good for us. Now, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says yes, and then, as we know, sometimes he says wait. And sometimes he says there's something better. I remember Charles Stanley said, I got something better for you, but it's good. What a wonderful Father. Now, Dan was mentioning this in a book he's been reading, but I thought this was very appropriate in this context. The story of the prodigal son is a picture, obviously, of a rebellious son, but it's a picture of our Heavenly Father as well as a human father. So let's go to Luke chapter 15 for just a moment in this picture of a father and a picture of Heavenly Father. Of course, we know the prodigal was exactly that. He wanted everything, and his father, begrudgingly, I'm sure, gave him half of the inheritance. He took off, he blew it, ended up dining with pigs, and he thought, I've had enough of this after a while. All his friends dumped him. And you know, isn't it interesting? He was abandoned by his friends, but he thought of his dad. Nobody else would come through for him. And of course, rightfully so. And then he thought of his dad. Verse 18. I will get up and go to my father. Now again, this is a picture not only of a human father, but more importantly, a picture of our Heavenly Father. And he said, I'm going to tell dad, I'm going to say, Dad, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. Now just drop your eyes down to verse 20. So he got up and came to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him. Isn't it interesting? His father saw him. Now, I'm sure he did. He wasn't coming home the way he left. I don't know if he had the same outfit on, but I'm sure if it was all ragged and tattered. I mean, you don't feed pigs in a clean attire. But I see, remember in the situation how quick they identified the people in Paris who did the killings? Remember? And they had all this mask and all that. But one of the ways they identified them, not only by voice, but by Gant, by the way they walk. The dad knew how his son walked. He knew how he could tell. Probably not by his dress, by his attire, but by his gait. If you love somebody, you know a lot about them, right? And interesting, a long way off. Now, I don't know if his dad, you hear the story in sermons, we think, well, his dad was looking for him. Maybe he was. I'm sure he was eager. You love your kids. You always love your kids no matter what, right? You do. But long ways off. But isn't it wonderful? He said he felt compassion. He felt compassion. Wouldn't it have been terrible if he had said, well, you come begging. I'll talk to you tomorrow. You get your act. You'll clean up. Isn't that something you'd been tempted to say? Go clean up. Pooh. You've been around pigs. You know why I said that, right? Go clean up. You stink. He saw his son, and he ran. Now, and you've heard this said, but it was not normal. It was not appropriate for a person of dignity to run. It was not appropriate. You've heard? It was. But this father was not into appropriate. He was into compassion. And our Father, in a pictorial way, runs to us when we turn to him. Isn't that a great thing? And you think, now when we were totally lost and without Christ, his arms were open. But even when we mess up, even when we mess up and we stink, his arms are open. And so we say, God, thank you, thank you, thank you for being that kind of father to us. You care for me. You care for me. You see, these are the kind of things I think when we're down and out, and you feel like you just feel so discouraged, we need to remember these things about our Father. We need to remember these things. He cares about us. He loves us. He wants the very best for us. And a human father, think an imperfect human father. I was talking to a young man recently, and he's a young father, and I don't know a thing about him, except I've had a little interaction with him on two separate occasions, and he's just kind of a talkative guy, and he's kind of a likable kind of guy. But anyway, the last time I talked to him recently, I found out he has three kids, and they're pretty young. And he was telling me some of his struggles and difficulties, and I said something about, I don't even know how our conversation went, but I said, well, I one thing I can tell from what he was saying, you love your kids. Oh, I say, oh yeah, because he's talking about his kids, right? Love your kids. Oh, I say, I love my kids. I say, one way I know you love your kids is you're working, right? Working, trying to pay to feed them. Now, this is a young guy, and I'm going to start praying for him, just that he come to know the Lord. But an imperfect father who loves his kids, we have a perfect father who loves his kids. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Our Father loves us. Now, this is another thing that's very interesting about God, and I don't want to miss this, because it's one thing that's easy to miss, and I'll explain in just a moment. But God our Father is the source of grace and peace. Now let's start with Romans 1:7. Let's go to Romans 7. Now the introductory, and you hear that and say, oh yeah, I've heard that hundreds of times, read that probably hundreds of more times, but just listen to this little statement that's repeated again and again. In verse 7 of Romans 1, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, and of course this is to Rome, but called as saints, notice this, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So both of them, again, the issue of the Trinity always goes hand in hand. But notice, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Now, let's just think about this a little bit. God's grace comes from God our Father, and obviously the Lord Jesus as well, his Son, in the context of the way grace is used, is, as one puts it, and this is consistent through the New Testament, God's grace, charis is the word, God's unmerited or undeserved favor. We've heard that many, many times. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. His favor toward us. And first and foremost, for providing salvation for sinners through Christ's sacrifice. Now, we understand we're saved by grace through faith. We very, very clear. But also grace, not only is his undeserved favor to save us, it's in his undeserved favor that can enable us in our Christian lives, that can empower us in our Christian lives. See, Paul is writing to Christians at Rome. Well, they're already saved by grace. But now they need grace to be enabled to keep on keeping on. We need grace every day. When you think of 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said to me, remember Paul, he's in this terrible situation. He's just terrible, terrible. And he praised the Lord three major times. I'm sure it was not a little quick prayer in the morning, and then the next day, but three times probably intense prayer for whatever his thorn in the flesh was, because it was such a burden. And he just knew in his mind, if I didn't have this thorn in the flesh, I could serve the Lord better, right? That, you just think that, and life would be a lot easier. And we don't know if it was his eyesight. I'm so glad God didn't tell us, because we would say, well, this only applies to that problem, right? No, whatever our burden is, whatever, we all have some thorns. And he said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is 2 Corinthians 12. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. We all have weakness, right? We all have weakness. And we're all sometimes in life we're weaker than other times. We all have weakness. But God's grace is sufficient for our weakness. And he said, my grace is sufficient for power. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, rather rejoice in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. You see, God's grace can enable us to get through whatever we have to get through. And some of you have had some really hard things to get through. And so God's grace, and the reason I wanted to highlight this is because this is stated so many times. Let me just read a few of the verses, and I mean you'll know this, but I just want to highlight it just a little bit more. 1 Corinthians 1:3, grace and peace from God our Father. 2 Corinthians 1:2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's stated in Galatians chapter 1, Ephesians 1, Philippians 1, Colossians 1, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, on and on and on. Now, usually we think repetition is designed to emphasize something. But we've heard this so many times, repetition almost becomes oblivious to it. We forget it. No. It's very, very relevant. It wasn't just like, well, if you saw it, it's not like we say, dear so-and-so, right? We say dear. Now, hopefully we mean that there, but a lot of times we just say dear and we didn't even think about it, right? But what Paul writes and these writers get is that we need God's grace. Every Christian needs God's grace, not only to get saved, but to keep on keeping on. And so he says, grace and peace. Now, wonder, let's think of grace in this way. Sufficiency. To be saved and to continue on. Peace is God's tranquility. So we have God's sufficiency, God's tranquility. Our Father provides these, and his Son is involved in this as well. So whatever we face in life, and all the Christians that are addressed by letters in the New Testament, grace and peace, because we need God's sufficiency and we need his tranquility. Wouldn't you say we need a little tranquility in this crazy world? You ever been on a plane, and maybe you were the one, but I remember one time we were in a group in Nova Scotia, and there was this conference. And so we all got in the plane, and one of the girls, I probably told you this story, but she's a dear, dear friend. She's actually with the Lord now. But she never had flown before. She she was a true white-knuckle flyer, you know, right? And I remember the poor thing. She just was scared to death on that plane. And you know, at times, when you get in a plane and you have a little turbulence, you ever been, remember, well, you've been, when you're going along and all of a sudden it just kind of drops a little bit and you think, Well, she had a few of those moments, right? You know, but you know, if you're really in a turbulence, it's scary, isn't it? When the plane starts dropping, and you know, and especially if you're on a little plane. And of course, Ross probably knows a lot of people who've been through lots of experiences with planes, but you think, life is like that. We're going along, and it looks like a bright, sunny day, and we also start dropping. It is scary. And I don't know what, you know, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but one thing we do know, we need grace and peace. And where does that come from? Our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father gives that. And a wonderful, wonderful Father He is. And so we just thank Him, thank Him. Thank. You know, I hope this is appropriate to share. I think it is. I was talking to Bev last night on the phone, Bev Harrington, and you know, of course, the surgery was yesterday with Ray, and she said to me, I just thought I'd be, I'm not exactly sure, but you know, what we might say a basket case, you know, just kind of fall apart. But she said, you know, she said, the prayers of the saints, and just, it was just like God gave special grace, and she had peace. Isn't that a wonderful thing? See, she experienced yesterday what these passages are talking about from our Heavenly Father. And so we thank Him that He gives that sufficiency and tranquility in the midst of life. Let me just, I'll conclude with one last thing. And again, this fits right in line with that. But when life totally falls apart, we go to this passage. I'm sure you've been here, and hopefully we'll never forget where it's at. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we think about God's comfort. God comforts us. God comforts us. I love this passage. It is so helpful in so many ways. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Grace and peace. We see that again. Verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. You know, the world is looking for comfort. You know, I thought one time, I remember years ago, I thought, you know, God gives us strength, and then we have turbulence, and then but then the plane keeps flying, right? You stay in the air. But sometimes the plane doesn't stay in the air, and we lose a loved one. Something happens in our life that there's no change in it. They can't come back to life. The consequences are already there. The issue's done. You can't erase it. You can't change it. You can't correct it. It's just a heartbreak. Where are we left at that time? The God of all comfort. God comforts our heart when there's no real answer to the disaster. When there's no real fix. It can't be repaired. It's like I remember one time I was really mad at my brother. I had a little problem with being mad at him sometimes. And so I said, he had this little airplane, and I said, oh, we'll see if this airplane flies. And I threw that thing so hard, and bam, it all busted up. I've confessed since, but my sin was great. You know, no fixing that plane. It's done. And sometimes there's no fixing our problem until we're with the Lord. But in the meantime, He's the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. And you know, that's where we have to go. Sometimes we just draw near to Him. It's just like when we were a little kid, and if you had a father that loved you, you could just draw near to Him and He could hold you, put His arms around you. Couldn't fix it, maybe, but He could hold you. And sometimes that's what we're left with. God holds us and comforts us. The God of all comfort. That's the kind of Father we have. And so whatever life holds, we have a Father who's up to the task that can carry us through the situation. Let's just thank Him. Lord of Heaven, our great Father, we thank You that we do not live in a sterile, cold, relationless situation with You. You are the Father who has brought us into relationship with Yourself. And so we just pray that it will help us remember who You are and what You are to us and how You want to minister to us, so that we will stay close to You and allow You to be our Father in the most intimate of ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.